You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. I'd like to share with you today a couple of stories that I've come to regard as somewhat sacred. You know, something I can call small sacred experiences that I have had in my life. I've had many, many sacred experiences in this life. I guess I've been blessed with that in a way, but in a way I feel like it's just because I've been paying attention, right? Everyone is having sacred experience all the time. You just have to have the eye for it, right? And as, of course, an ayahuasca apprentice, a potential shaman, a healer, I was born with the eye for it. I've been watching for it just by instinct, right, my whole life. And they've been finding me. Now, these two stories I'm sharing today have a common thread, and that is dragonflies. Two little sacred experiences that really marked me, having to do with dragonflies. But first, I'd like to just talk about insects in general, because especially this year, as my ayahuasca apprenticeship is progressing and I'm finding out more about myself and who my allies are in nature and in spirit, more and more I've been realizing what a great connection I have to insects. And I've always had it, you know? It's funny, the more you progress in these spiritual paths, the more you come to see the entire story of your life. Threads that have been there since the beginning, woven through, right? Always there, saying hello. And all of a sudden, everything seems to make sense all the way back to your birth, right? And for me, when I look at my life from this place in time, it's clear. I've got a huge connection with insects. Now, of course, those who've been listening to this podcast know that I've got a big connection with bees that recently graduated to a great, you know, level of understanding and harmony. My very second memory in life, I guess, my most potent first memory of life, has to do with the bee. So right there in the beginning, there was something to do with insects, right? But beyond that, even as I grew up, right, the bee thing, as it happens, was a negative, it was a fear, right? But still, that's a relationship, that's a connection, which recently, as I mentioned, has turned into something beautiful and healed. But as I grew up, you know, before anything else in this world fascinated me, you know, I guess besides nature, I've always loved nature in general, all the creatures and the plants and everything. I am absolutely in love, fellow human, with nature. But if there is a specific thing in nature that drew my attention early in life, it was insects. I always found them interesting. Caterpillars, butterflies, right? Beetles, bees I was terrified of, I'd run away. You know, dragonflies, spiders, again, you stay away from them, but I'd still look at them and think, wow, look at you, right? Crazy creature. You know, more than birds, more than cats and dogs and horses and stuff, it was always insects for me, before anything. Before dinosaurs fascinated me, which all kids are fascinated by dinosaurs, right? I had books about insects and stuff. So, you know, it's been in place for a long time for me, this primal connection, primary connection to insects. And, you know, as a kid in elementary school in the schoolyard, with all these options of what to do with your recess time, more often than not, what I would choose to do is go to these bushes by the parking lot and stick my nose in those bushes and see what creatures, what insects are living in the bush today, right? And usually I remember it was these beetles. Black and white striped backed beetles with a shiny black front part, right? And they were always in there. I remember they'd be having sex. I didn't know what sex was, but they'd be on top of each other, latched together, right? And there was other ones alone, and I'd have them crawl on my hand. I was never afraid of them, right? I somehow had a sense of which ones could bite and which ones were just harmless sort of bumbling bugs, right? So it's always been there, this contact. And really, they were friends to me when I had no friends. As sad as that sounds, I was a weird kid that many kids rejected. I'd have these waves of social contact once in a while. A girl would come and talk to me, you know, maybe be my little fake girlfriend, you know, as a seven-year-old for like 2 days, but then she'd figure out I'm not normal and leave, right? So I was alone a lot, and they were my friends, the bugs. And the plants, of course, were always there because that's where the bugs were. So it's kind of funny to realize now that I'm in this big apprenticeship with the plant medicines of the Amazon and having all sorts of visions, encountering all kinds of different forces of life and spirits, how often it's insects that are helping me, that are contacting me, that are allies, that are protectors, that are teachers. More than, you know, the panther or the tiger or the snake or the wolf or the bear, as you would expect someone in apprenticeship normally talk about. For me, it's just bugs, 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 bugs. But so be it, right? I guess it's been destined since the beginning. I love them, they love me. And if you look at my Facebook, right, you'll see a whole bunch of videos of bugs, critters, happily sitting on my finger. From butterflies to dragonflies, you know, big-ass grasshoppers. They're comfortable with me because we have that connection. Of course, in my apprenticeship, the wasp and the bee have become hugely important. So there's that again, insects. And I've often spoken about, in the ayahuasca moment, when the medicine comes to pull me out of my body and take me on a deep spirit journey, it's the insects that bring me in. It's not the sound of the river so much. It's not the wind in the trees. It's not the birds, you know, calling in the night. It's the insects that carry me in. So it's deep. It's big for me. As a shaman, I'm an insect shaman before anything else, it seems, you know? So very interesting. You don't hear so much talk of that in all these books about shamanism and all the spirits that can be used and worked with in shamanism and this kind of medicine. You know, you hear about the wolf, like I said, and the bear and the eagle and the snake. Somehow for me it's bugs. And I'm fine with it. It's weird. I'm weird. Whatever. I love it. And when I get into the spirit world, I can't tell you how many times, even if the vision I'm having has nothing to do with bugs, there's bugs everywhere. I mean, spirit bugs, bugs of light, just filling the air everywhere there's space. So, it would only be normal that in my life, when life has tried to teach me or move me, it's so often, I guess, come through insects. And two of these times have come through the dragonfly. Three of them, in fact. The biggest one of the three I won't be sharing here today because I already shared it in the episode called Tobacco Power on this podcast. Feel free to check it out afterwards. In fact, I hope you will. If you haven't heard it before, it is the best of the three. It's a great hell of a story. But let's share the two that it sits in between. The one that happened when I was 18 and the one that happened this year. So here we go. Two sacred stories that really moved me to do with dragonflies. So the first one, as I mentioned, happened when I was 18. I was working back then as an artist in a little studio in an office in Toronto. And the guys of the office, pretty much all of them, smoked cigarettes. I did not. I was a young kid. So they'd always, you know, be heading down to the parking lot in front of the building to smoke and chat. And that's where, you know, the real connections got made between everybody. So if you weren't there, you were kind of left out. I joined them, of course, just to socialize, just to be a part of it. And one of these days, I was down there with these guys in the evening, and I happened to notice very near us, there was this huge dragonfly on the ground, just sitting there on the sidewalk. And that's strange, right? They don't usually do that. And I was worried that these guys would see it, and maybe one of them would just be an idiot and go over and stomp on it or something, as I've seen humans so often just randomly do. So I decided to go over and investigate. Maybe shoo it away for its own safety, right? So I walk over to it, and I bend down, and I look at it. And unfortunately, it was clear that this dragonfly was in trouble. It was one of those big ones, you know, big, beefy ones, gorgeous, just patterns all over its body, green and brown, I still remember. Oh, blue and green and brown. Wow, beautiful, beautiful creature. Big, beefy, you know, torso. Wow, muscles on driving those huge wings. And the problem was that one of its eyes had been completely bashed in. It was like an egg shell, you know, that had just been dropped on the ground. So obviously it had run into a window or a car, something like that. And it was done for. This thing was going to die. It couldn't, I guess, steer. It couldn't figure out how to fly anymore. So it was just buzzing its wings once in a while, trying to take off, not really able to. And, you know, dragonflies breathe from their butt, their long butt. So I could tell a lot about how this dragonfly was feeling by watching its butt, which was just, you know, frantically pumping, breathing really fast, and then sometimes stopping and then breathing really fast again. So it was suffering, you know, this thing was in a crisis. And definitely I felt for the thing, you know, poor thing. And, you know, I didn't want to just leave it there. The guys were heading back in after their cigarettes. So I picked it up, got on my fingers, and definitely it was scared. It was trying to fly off, buzzing, but it couldn't. So it was just kind of stuck on me. And I decided, well, you know, it can't fly, so let me just take it upstairs and keep it company, because obviously it's going to die, right? And I've always had this sense when I feel a pet is going to die or anything like that, that I want to just be with them, right? Nobody wants to die alone. Everyone likes to have a sense of a friend, you know, sitting with them through this difficult part of life, especially when it's, you know, long and labored. So this isn't the first creature I have sat with as it died. So I decided to do the same thing. And I actually stuck it on my shirt and it held on and it stayed there. So I decided, you know, stay with me. I'm going to go back to the office upstairs. I'm going to work at the computer. And just be with you until you pass. You know, beautiful creature. Poor thing. And that's what I did. Now, as I was so close to the thing when I got back up to the office, and of course as I observed it down there, you know, suffering, there was a part of me that was thinking, yeah, just put it out of its misery, right? There's no turning back. It's going to die. Crush it. And that's always been a tough one for me, right? Sometimes I do that. I know, obviously, this thing's suffering. Kill it. But to be frank, back then, in this case, there was a selfish reason that I also chose not to do it. Not to kill that thing and to let it die in its way. And that reason is I wanted its eye. Because fellow human, as I observed this thing so close, this huge dragonfly with a big head, big eyes, for the first time in my life getting so close to a dragonfly, staying so still, right? I got to really appreciate the magic of a dragonfly's eye. And it was spellbinding, I have to say. It really surprised me, and I couldn't stop looking into its eye because I didn't understand. What I didn't understand is its eye had this crazy holographic effect, right? Which is normal in insect eyes, compound eyes. They're like these crystals or something, or they're like these tubes that do this really trippy effect. You know, even if you rotate it, the hologram you're seeing is kind of the same, you know, at every angle. But what was so fascinating about this dragonfly's eye is that it had this insane depth. That's what the holographic effect was. It was like a tunnel going right into its head. But this tunnel was so deep that it went through to the other side of its head, if you were to measure what the depth looked like, right? It went past the center of its head, out the other side of its head, and beyond on the other side, right, into the air. So it was like this impossibly deep-looking tunnel in its eye. And I thought, that's so crazy. What a beautiful gem of nature, the eye of this creature, right? The one that's not broken anyway. And there was this monkey greed in me for shiny things, right? That was thinking, well, keep it company till it dies. You're doing a good deed. But the prize for me, the greedy part for me was, and when it dies, I'm going to pop its head off, and I'm going to have this amazing natural jewel to always look at, because this is beautiful. I can't stop looking at it, right? So I would do my work, but I kept looking down, seeing how he's doing, but I'd look into his eye and just think, this is, wow, that's so trippy, right? So beautiful. This beautiful green and blue tunnel that just went on forever. So I kept it company for maybe an hour and a half, knowing that the end was really close. And just like every time I've kept company to any kind of creature as it died, I just know when it's about to happen. I just get an inkling, right? A little bell, hey, it's time. You know, within a minute, it's over, right? And at some point, I got that inkling. So I picked it up off my shirt, put it in my hands, you know, and just gave it love or whatever, you know, with my will, and just observed it. And I looked into its eye and I sort of told it, you know, goodbye. Just go. It's over, right? The suffering, let it go. Just go. And its butt was breathing and breathing and breathing, pumping, 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 suffering. And then it just stopped. And that was it. It died right there in my hands as I looked into its eye. But the thing that really surprised me here, and really this is the moment that I'm telling the story for, is I was absolutely caught off guard to see that the depth in its eye vanished the second that butt stopped breathing. And I mean the second it stopped. It went flat. It went dull. And the depth, it still had a holographic-y sort of depth, but it didn't even reach to the center of its head anymore. That insane depth that I had been so enamored by and so coveting of, it was like a treasure that I wanted to keep. I realized in that moment that that was the dragonfly's soul. That was the dragonfly's spark. That was its life. And just like a human, we know when a human dies, the eyes go flat. You can't really put your finger on it, but we know there's a look that disappears. There's a light that is gone in a second. And I was absolutely caught off guard to see that happen to the eye, the plastic-like mechanical eye, like a camera lens, right, of an insect. I had never expected that to happen. And that taught me a huge lesson. Right there, at 18, when I was still kind of knowing that I had this spiritual awareness of life, and, you know, I still hadn't decided what I believed about God and souls and all that stuff. But in that moment, that was a big one for me. That shifted something big for me. To see that even a bug that we tend to consider like robots, like soulless mechanical machines, right? Like technology more than life, right? Even in that kind of hard, unmoving, solid eye, you can see a soul. And when the thing dies, there's a magic, there's a depth, there is a beauty, there is some kind of incomprehensible magic that is instantly gone. What a lesson. And that moved me, you know. I was stunned. And even today, you know, I think back on that moment sometimes. And even today, I think, like, scientifically, I try to understand, why would a holographic eye with so much depth, why would it, you know, mechanically, physically, if you're trying to explain it another way, a scientific way, why would it go dull so fast the second the thing dies? What physically happened there? Is there like a liquid that has to be constantly filtered? Because if it's not filtered for a moment, it goes cloudy, right? That doesn't make sense. I don't think that's how it works, right? I, you know, and I'm not trying to fight my conclusion. I tried to look at it another way before, like this, and it doesn't work. The only way that works for me, even if you can explain it physically, look, oh, we did experiments, and the reason this happens is because there's a chemical that changes right away, blah, 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 right, whatever. The point is, the experiential point of what I experienced there is the light going out in the eyes of a dragonfly, just as it goes out in the eye of a person that dies. And what that means is the dragonfly had a soul. And what that means is every goddamn thing that lives, that breathes, that eats, that breeds and dies, everything that lives on this planet has a soul. And just because they are odd to us, just because it's a creature that we is so different than us that we think they're machines and they're not really, they don't count. Yeah, they don't really have a spirit. They're not conscious. Yes, they are. That's what that dragonfly taught me that day. That's the truth I found in a dragonfly's eye. And in a way, that was one of my first big spiritual experiences, one of my big spiritual moments of realizing the spirit that's in everything. That this isn't just a robot. There was a life there. There was a spirit. There was a soul. And when it left, the body just became a thing. And the magic in its eye that I wanted to keep was gone. Because what I was in love with, what I was fascinated by, was not its eye. It was its spirit. That's the depth it had in its eye. The tunnel that went deeper than its head. That went into infinity, right? So there is that one, fellow human. The first time a dragonfly came into my life and taught me something big. And the second one, as I said, the second one I will leave to you to discover in the episode called Tobacco Power over at my podcast, higherideas.net. And this takes us to the most recent one. Now, this happened maybe a month and a half ago. Again, if you've been listening to this podcast lately, you know times are rough, very rough. I'm only starting to open up about that. I'm recently preparing an episode that will be coming out that gets in very big detail about exactly how bad things have been here this year for me so far. Very hard times. Very hard. And a lot of the difficulty has been around a crisis of faith. The crisis of faith being, is God really with me here? Are you helping me or not? Because everything is going wrong. And I thought I was here working with Spirit, working with God, and to see everything going wrong and no alignment, no help happening, being even a lot of it seeming to go out of its way to happen, things breaking in ways that are just ridiculous. It's like, really? Now this too is going wrong? I don't need more things to go wrong. Why did you go out of your way and go wrong, right? Anyway, a lot of frustration like that. And living here in Peru near a river, the river is one of my big therapists. It is one of my big, definitely important health practices in my everyday life to deal with the incredible stress and strain that I've been dealing with for months, years, let's be honest. I've been going down to the river very frequently. I usually smoke some marijuana, you know, try to forget all the problems, swim, do some exercise, lift some rocks, scream at the trees when I'm angry, sometimes, you know, and just enjoy the beautiful view everywhere around me and try to connect to it and give me some sense of relief, right? Some inspiration to keep me going. It has been so important, these visits to the river, and many moments have happened there, including one recently with a dragonfly. So, I walked down there one day, about a month and a half ago, like I said, just down in the dumps, as I so often am as I walk down there. And as I walked down there, first it was sunny, but by the time I got down there, the clouds had rolled in, as they had been so many times those days. Just another thing that always goes wrong, right? I need my therapy. I go down to the river, it's sunny on my way down, and by the time I'm down there, it's overcast and gross, right? And it was one of those days. So by the time I got down to the river, the sky was starting to turn into a storm. The river, it had been raining. The river was not that appealing to get into. It was cold. There was no sun to heat me or it anymore. And I realized I walked down here for nothing. Fuck! Right? Everything going wrong. Damn it. So I decide, anyway, you walk down here, at least until the rain comes. Have a puff of weed, at least listen to the sound of the river, you know, lift some rocks, get some anger out, do a little something before heading back. So I did, for maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. And you know, I zen out when I go down there for a long time. A lot of times I just sort of squat down and stare into the water for 15, 20 minutes, you know, just trying to clear my head, not think anything, and just look, right? And that's what I was doing. I was staring at a rock near me, in the water, half in the water, about the size of a soccer ball or something. And that rock I was staring at, while I was just sitting there, zoned out, looking at it, on that exact rock, out of the water crawls a little black critter. a little tiny bug, no more than an inch long, right? All black, shiny black shell, you know, pointy little butt, obviously some water creature. And so I think, whoa, cool, is this, you know, one of these insects that starts out in the water and then turns into a flying thing? Maybe this is a dragonfly, and it's crawling out, you know, maybe to come out of its shell and become what it is, right? Wow, I want to see that. That would be great to see today. That's something to look at, right? So I get real close. I squat down like I've done so many times in life next to a bug. Squatted down in a little ball, stuck my nose as close as I can get it without hurting my neck to just observe this little creature. What are you doing? What are you? Are you a dragonfly? I don't know. So I'm looking at it. It's definitely got, you know, an insect face. I just can't really tell what kind of insect it might be. It's fully black and shiny. It's got all these, you know, ridges and details on its body. Its butt is like an accordion kind of thing. It's got these three little sort of spikes at the end of it. And it's just sitting out on the air, crawled out of the water, and it's not really doing anything. Once in a while, I see its butt kind of twitch, but it's not really, doesn't even look like it's breathing. It's just sitting there. So I'm looking at it for a while, waiting to see if something happens. You know, maybe it's just getting some air. I don't know. And I start to get bored, maybe after 10 minutes. And I start to think, well, let's go look at something else. But something told me, don't leave. Keep watching. Watch. Right? And when these instincts come over me, I go with it. You know, I go with it more and more as I'm progressing with the shamanism thing. So I do. I stay there, and I wait. And I look at it, and I wait for something to happen. Are you going to move? Or are you going to open up and become something? What are you doing? And I almost wanted to poke it, right? But I'm thinking, no, just leave it alone. Just watch. And 10 more minutes go by. 10 more minutes go by. Nothing's happening. And I eventually start thinking, what are you doing, you kook? You know, you're just infinitely watching this completely motionless bug. Just because you had a vague feeling, you know, don't look away. Something's going to happen. But I keep looking. I'm depressed anyway, right? I got nothing else to do here. And I look and I look. And I start to observe all the creases and delicate little fine joints, you know, on its body. And I'm trying to figure out, where would this open up if a bug was to evolve out of this, right? Where would this open? It's usually around the back. I've seen shrimp, you know, I've had pet shrimp in aquariums, and I know that the back opens up like a flap, and out they pop, right? I've seen lots of videos of bugs coming out of their lower state to a higher state, right? And it usually opens up at the back. And on its back, there was a cross in the shape of an X, right? Right in the middle of its back. This little fine X. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's probably where it would open, right? So that's where I was staring, right in the middle of that X, and I was waiting to see anything moving. Come on, give me a show, right? Show me something, bug. Nothing. And then a moment came, without warning, and it really caught me off guard, okay? So this bug is sitting on a rock that's got all kinds of speckles and all kinds of, you know, random colors and details on it, right? And there's some more rocks around it with all their own details, of course. I'm staring at a backdrop of rocks with a tiny little black bug with a tiny X on its back. And in one moment, out of nowhere, I got a flash. I got a flash of, okay, this has happened to me a couple, many, many times I've seen this in life, just in a flash the same way, just for a moment, a fleeting moment, and then it goes. I'm sure someone out there has seen the same thing. I could be staring at a pile of pine needles, you know, brown dead pine needles at the bottom of a pine tree forest, right? Where it's just a jumble of long, curvy lines, right? Or it could be looking at a natural, noisy pattern on rocks, just like the rock this bug was sitting on, right? Or anything like that, you know, looking at just the foliage in the trees or something. But there have been moments in my life where I'm looking at a field of noise like that, and all of a sudden, there's a harmony that I see. like a bunch of spirals that connect down at one center, right? Like a crazy, you know, kaleidoscopic harmony that just all of a sudden you see. And you're like, whoa, look at that. And then just as quickly as you see it, it's gone, right? I've had these flashes looking at all kinds of things in nature and life. And, you know, it's been different shapes here and there. Like I said, sometimes it's been this, like, spiral. Sometimes it's been like a starburst, right? And I've never known quite what to think of that. Like, is that your brain just staring at the noise so long that it tries to find a harmony to organize it, right? Because it's usually when I'm staring at something for a long time, a field of noise. And I sure was staring now again at a field of noise for a long time. So there is this scientific explanation for what just happened. But the timing of it is what is not explainable. So here's what happens. As I'm staring at the center of this bug, waiting for something to happen, getting really bored, all of a sudden, in the grain of the rocks, not just the rock it's sitting on, but every object around that rock, every other rock, my entire field of vision, there was the God cross, which I have spoken about in the episode called G-O-D, about God, right? The God cross, just to explain to anybody, to me, it's a cross, so it's like a plus sign, intersected by a times sign, where everything meets in the middle, right? And every time I've seen that shape in life, in visions, you know, I've come to understand that it's God. It's a sign of God. It's you're looking right at God, right? So as I'm staring at this little critter's back with this X on its back, the God cross flashes at me out of nowhere in the grain of the rock and everything in my vision. All of a sudden, there's this harmony, and I see it. Whoa, look at that. The God cross is right there. And it was intersecting exactly at the middle of the X on that critter's back. So it was all around that. It was centered on that critter where I was looking and perfectly lined up to exactly that fine little X. Flash. And it sort of surprised me. Whoa, what did I just see? But at the same time as that flash happened, I could have swore that the X on that little critter's back flashed white. There was like a white and it disappeared. A little white X. And I thought, wow, what, okay. And before I could even, I had to be sure, like, what did I, and I start looking at it harder, like, whoa, 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 did I really just see something? And then it flashes again, not the whole God cross. The whole thing just happened once, just to get my attention. But the little white cross on the back flashed again. And I thought, what? Flashed again, and then just one line of it, another line of it, and I realized, oh my God, it's happening! It's happening! Something's happening! Opened up, revealing these white fibers that separated, revealing this shiny little ball that started pushing out of this X, erupting up, up, and the little black critter started pumping, pumping. It's happening! Finally! Right? We're gonna find out what this is. The head pops out. And I knew it! That's a dragonfly's face! Out comes a dragonfly's head. Out comes a dragonfly's torso. Out come dragonfly legs. And puts its legs on top of its former shell. And pulls and pulls and pulls its butt out of its butt. Wow, I was cheering that thing on. I was so, so into this. It was beautiful, you know? I never got to see that with my own eyes. It's a lucky thing, right? You just have to be at the right place. And so I got to see this amazing, beautiful little miracle of a dragonfly coming out of its lower form into its final form, its most beautiful form, right? And once it popped out of its tight little body, popped its butt out, which was all squished up just in the shape it had been, stubby, right? Its butt started to pump longer, 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 stretching out its butt, right? And I was watching it. Yeah, go, dragonfly, go. You're becoming, you know? And its wings, you know, unfurling, unfurling. They were all stuck together, all four of them, like a little tight backpack. And they all together just stretched, stretched, stretched. Oh, It was beautiful, you know? Definitely made my day. And as this was happening, and I was watching this moment happening, and, you know, the big effort was over. It was a long-butted, you know, unfurled winged dragonfly, although its wings were all still stuck together as one on its back, right? It hadn't opened its wings yet. It was sitting there, and I knew, because I know bugs, it's got to dry for a while, right? It's got to get solid. So this is a very delicate time. I am going to protect you, little dragonfly. I'm going to watch over you and make sure nothing comes to harm until you're ready. And at that same time, I noticed some drops of water starting to fall out of the sky, and I realize, oh no, the storm is coming. And I hear thunder, and I know, I look up in the valley and see that very near there's a wall of rain coming. And so I start telling the dragonfly in my mind, come on, little buddy, hurry up. I don't know how long you have to dry, but you're about to get wet. You got to get out of here. The water will wash you into this river, and you don't have a chance. And I'm trying not to interrupt it. You know, I know this is an important moment, delicate for a creature. Wow, so I'm invested, and I'm watching. Come on, buddy, come on. And I'm waiting and waiting, and the rain is getting harder and harder. And right around the time where I decided, no, I got to do something, right? This rain is getting too big. I got to pick him up and put him under a leaf or something, right? Away from this river, at least. I stick my finger down there. And as I move towards him that way, the wings just pop in the nanosecond. It's not even a motion. It's just boom. All of a sudden, the wings are fully open. All four of them, all separate. And they're brilliant. They're just crystal shining, just beautiful, natural stained glass, perfect little creation, so fresh and new. Beautiful, right? Look at you. You're ready. Good. You can fly, right? I guess you can fly. I hope you can fly. I'm not sure yet. So I put my finger down in front of it. It's just like, wow, what a creature. And it crawls right on. I didn't have to coax it. It crawled onto my finger. And I thought, good, good. You know I'm helping, right? Let me take you somewhere, at least safe from the rain. And so I do. I start carrying it towards the safety of the forest. But on my way there, it flies off my finger, and off it goes into the forest, you know? And I was happy. Good for you, little buddy. Just in time for the rain. And the rain came right after that, and I had to walk back in the rain. But I was just so, you know, that was a moment. I knew that was a moment that I had to read into, because that God cross flashing in my vision, that harmony that I saw right at the exact moment that this dragonfly started to erupt, it was as if I had sensed its effort or something, you know? But since it's the God cross, after thinking about this a lot, I believe I've understood what it meant. And I try to remember it and try to have faith in that message. So let me tell you how I interpret what I experienced there. The God cross was a sign to make me pay attention to what's about to happen as a message from God. Not only is this a sacred thing happening, of course, right? Birth, of course. But specifically seeing the God cross tells me God is here. Right? God says, hello, look at this. And it was God telling you, don't look away. There's something that's about to happen, right? That was the little whisper. And so, look, when it comes to creatures coming out of their shells like that, for example, a butterfly, like I told you, I know a lot about bugs. And if you see a butterfly coming out of its cocoon, a lot of people have an instinct to try and help because it looks like it's struggling a lot. Might look like it gives up halfway, stops moving, right? And people might think, oh no, it's dying, oh, it's not okay, it needs help. It looks like it's really having a hard time coming out of this tight little hole. Let me get a knife or something or pull on it, you know, let me help it, right? Let me get a knife and cut its cocoon a little bit delicately so it can be a little looser so it can let it out, right? That is an instinct that many people have observing something like this. But I know as a guy who loves nature documentaries and stuff, that if you help that butterfly at all, you are killing it. Because the struggle that a butterfly goes through, pulling itself through a tiny little, like too small hole, out of its cocoon. That is by design. Because the process of squeezing out of that hole is actually pushing fluids into the veins of its wings in order for them to properly be able to unfurl and open and have a solid structure and dry properly. So if anybody comes along and loosens that cocoon or pulls on that bug, it will never grow its wings, and it will be crippled, and it will die. And I assume it's the same with the dragonfly coming out of its shell, right? Do not touch it. Watch over it. And look what I was doing, right? I was watching over it, rooting for it, but knowing that it was so important, I do not touch it, that it do its struggle on its own. And if it gives up halfway because it doesn't have the strength, then it dies. And I can't change that. But I have to have the faith that this little critter wants to live hard enough to push itself all the way through this hard effort of birth. And if it does, it will be okay. It will have reached its new form, and it will be able to fly gloriously on shining wings of natural... Anyway, got distracted, I'm sorry, but the point is, in that moment, watching over that dragonfly, the message was, I was God. In that dynamic between me and the dragonfly, I felt about that dragonfly the same way God is feeling about me right now, as I'm calling out so hard, help me, goddammit, help me, this is so fucking hard, and it looks, things are breaking, things are ripping, right? Emergency! Struggle! Right? So the message was, look at what you know about this dragonfly, and look how you were protecting it, and if anything came to try and bother that thing, you were going to protect it, right? You were going to protect it from the rain, you were going to protect it from predators, but you knew that until that emergency came, you could not interrupt, because you would spoil what it was becoming. This process had to happen, uninterrupted, by any help, in order to happen right. Right? Now the message there is, that's how God, maybe, feels about me going through this right now. I wish I could help you, but this is a crucial point of transformation for you, and you have to go through this with your own will. And yeah, when you're erupting out of an old shell, things rip, things break. It's hard, but I know you're going to make it, and I can't help you right now, even though I want to. It would hurt you. I need you to finish coming out so you can become what you are, and if anything seriously comes to destroy you, I am going to protect you, and I am rooting for you. That's the lesson of that little moment, or at least that's a lesson you can read into it. And as I've been in a crisis of faith, up and down, lately, looking like everything's going wrong and nothing's going to work and this is all going to fail, maybe it won't. Maybe the higher spirit knows everything is going to work out and this is just part of my path. And it wishes it can help. And I'm breaking its heart by asking, you know? But it's bigger than me and it knows how things work. And it can't. And it's wishing me well. Just like I was wishing that little dragonfly well. So there's a second little sacred lesson, little sacred moment, fresh off the presses, to do with the dragonfly. And that's where I'll leave it for today, fellow human. Two sacred little thought-provoking moments that have really marked me in my life to do with dragonflies. And please, as I said, do go check out the episode over on my podcast called Tobacco Power to hear the big one, the really, really magical experience I've had to do with a dragonfly. So bless you, little dragonflies. I love you. Little insects, same to you, my friends. All of nature, all of life. But insects, you know we're tight. You know we're good. Gracias, amigos. And if you would like to lend a little harmless support to this dragonfly trying to still pull itself into its final form, I could very much use some financial support to keep me alive through this. You can head over to my website over at higherideas.net, check out the little orange Patreon link sitting right at the top of the page. If you click that, you'll be able to find out how to donate some money monthly to keep me alive here. Ooh, I could use that juice, is all I can tell you. I very much appreciate it. And of course, at that same website, higherideas.net, you will find every other episode of this podcast, including that one I hope you will check out, Tobacco Power. It's not that far down. So, fellow human, hope you've enjoyed these stories, and look forward to more. Until next time, keep thinking.